The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 18, text number 65, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari. Recorded on November 20th, 2011, in Pune, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Man mana bhava mad bhakto. Madhyaji man namaskuru.
Madhyaji man namaskuru.
Mam me vaishyashi satyam te. Tati jane priyosi me. Man mana bhava man bhakto. Madhyaji man namaskuru. Mam me vaishyashi satyam te. Tati jane priyosi me. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus, you will come to me without fail. I promise you this, because you are my very dear friend. Purport. The most confidential part of knowledge is that one should become a pure devotee of Krishna and always think of him and act for him. One should not become an official meditator. Life should be so molded that one will always have the chance to think of Krishna. One should always act in such a way that all his daily activities are in connection with Krishna. He should arrange his life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours he cannot but think of Krishna. And the Lord's promise is that anyone who is in such pure Krishna consciousness will certainly return to the abode of Krishna, where he will be engaged in the association of Krishna face to face. This most confidential part of knowledge is spoken to Arjuna because he is the dear friend of Krishna. Everyone who follows the path of Arjuna can become a dear friend to Krishna and attain the same perfection as Arjuna. These words stress that one should concentrate his mind upon Krishna, the very form with two hands carrying a flute, the bluish boy with a beautiful face and peacock feathers in his hair. There are descriptions of Krishna found in the Brahma Samhita and other literatures. One should fix his mind on this original form of Godhead, Krishna. One should not even divert his attention to other forms of the Lord. The Lord has multi forms as Vishnu, Narayan, Rama, Varaha, etc. But a devotee should concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. Concentration of the mind in the form of Krishna constitutes the most confidential part of knowledge, and this is disclosed to Arjuna because Arjuna is the most dear friend of Krishna's.
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganitam Vitam Dhamsa Jivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamsha.
Everybody has it. What do they have? 24 hours. Everyone has their 24 hours. So what do you do with your 24 hours? You see, that's up to you. You have the ability to discipline yourself. Even if you have so many duties to do this and that for your family or for your employer or your customers, you see, still, you have the control of what attitude you're going to have while you're doing that. That's your domain. Your attitude is your domain. That's completely up to you, what kind of attitude you're going to have. We're locked into doing this, you know, running a business or whatever we have for a livelihood. We're locked into that for the bodily maintenance. But your attitude is completely up to you. 24 hours a day, what kind of attitude do you have? Are you seeing everything as Krishna's property? Are you seeing everything as, you know, my property, your property, his property, their property? That's the first thing. Are you seeing as Krishna said, Bhogdaram Jagatapasam Sarva Loka Maheshvaram Suhridam Sarvabhutanam Gyatvamam Shantam Richati? Krishna says he is the enjoyer of everything and the owner of everything. Are you seeing that? Are you disciplining your mind to see like that? Are you thinking you're the proprietor and you have to expand your own empire? Your thoughts are creating your next body. You know that? What you're thinking, how you discipline your mind, is creating your next body. So what kind of body do you want in your next life? Would you like to have a body that's eternal, full of knowledge and bliss, that never gets sick, that never gets old and never dies? Or do you want to have another rotting machine that goes through birth, death, old age, and disease? It's your choice. You have the free will to decide what kind of body you're going to get in your next life. You have the free will. It's completely up to you. Some people say, well, there is no next life. Why should I worry about it? Just enjoy now. The next life, that's some kind of religious superstition. You see, that's what they say. They say, I don't believe in hell. That's just something that somebody made up to scare people into being moral. I'll just be a moral person. I don't need to worry about enjoying myself. But these descriptions in the Vedic literature, they are not imagination. They're real. There is a next life. Is this like you are changing bodies now? Dehi nos minyata dehe kumaram jovanam jada tata dehandra praptir didas tatadamuyati. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at the time of death. The self-realized souls are not bewildered by such a change. So who can say they're not changing bodies? No one can make that clear. You had a little baby's body. Where is it? Your parents may have a picture of it. Where is that body? Where are the chemicals that made up your little baby's body? They're finished. They're long gone. But yet you were here. There is the proof that you're not your body. And just as you've been changing bodies from boyhood to youth to old age, the time of death you will accept another body. That's one of Newton's laws. Did you know that? Newton has proven reincarnation. Did you know that? One of the laws of motion is that something that is in motion tends to stay in motion. So that means if the momentum of this changing body, at every second you are changing body, that is the momentum. Therefore, by the law of momentum, you will change body at the time of death also. The law of momentum. So you get to engineer, we may have some engineers here tonight. You get to engineer your next body. This is called spiritual engineering. This is the most, and they don't teach this in engineering college. You see, here we have the real engineering college. This is the topmost engineering. It's confirmed by Krishna. Do you know that? Krishna confirms this is the topmost engineering. Raja Vidya Raja Guyam. You see, this is, he says, this is the topmost engineering. Raja Vidya. So you can engineer your next body by properly disciplining your thoughts, words, and deeds. This process is known as Krishna consciousness. That is the name of our society. We are the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Because this Krishna consciousness is the perfection of existence. We want to introduce this science to the whole world. We want to see that everyone can become Krishna conscious. Some people complain, you're trying to impose something on me. This is just some religious dogma. Why are you trying to cram your religion down my throat? If somebody's rude, they'll say it like that. Or they'll say, get the hell out of here with your religious nonsense. But this isn't really a proper understanding. The reality is that everyone is Krishna conscious in their original pure state. Just like within a match, fire exists. Isn't it a fact? Is it not a fact that within a match, fire exists? When you strike, the fire is already there in the match in a dormant condition. So when you strike that match, the fire comes up. So you already have Krishna consciousness. It's already there within you. We're not imposing anything upon you here in this Krishna consciousness movement. We are not a brainwashed cult to impose something upon you. You see, this material world is a brainwashed cult. They have imposed upon you the false conception that I am this body. I'm a woman, I'm a man, I'm an Indian, I'm an American. This has been brainwashed to think that you are your body. Even your parents did it. When you came out of the womb, they said, oh, it's a boy, it's a girl. From the very moment of our birth, we were programmed, brainwashed into thinking that I'm this body. In this whole civilization, I mean, if you want to call it civil, how can you call it a civilization? It's a chaosization. This whole chaosization that we're living in the middle of right now, you see. It is based on this false principle that I am this body, even though they made so many nice arrangements. Because the foundational principle of this civilization is false. Therefore, the whole thing is, as Bhagavatam says, Shama Eva Hi Kevalam. In the mathematics classroom, the professor, he may write a huge formula on the blackboard. He starts up here in the upper left-hand corner, he comes across the board, second line, third line, fourth line, and he extends it over to the other board on the other side of the classroom. The formula goes on and on and on, a humongous formula, and every step in the formula was correct, so why did it come out wrong at the end? Because the first thing he said in the formula, he made a mistake the very first step. See, even though the formula was perfectly executed all the way along, because it was wrong at the first step, therefore at the end the result is wrong. So even though they very expertly made this civilization with its highways and its internet and its 747s and iPhones and so many things, you see, they constructed this very intricately developed infrastructure that we're all living in the middle of. Very expertly they've done that. But yet, because the foundational principle is incorrect, it's invalid, therefore the end result is you become an animal in your next life. You don't get to live in a nice apartment in your next life. Next life, you'll be a dog on the street, or a monkey, or an alligator. That's the civilization they've created. This human civilization, these people are going down to the animal kingdom in the next life, or the plant kingdom. That's where they're heading, because they're committing so many sinful activities against the laws of God, against the laws of nature. So Krishna consciousness means to become sane. It simply means to become a sane person. Not to remain a crazy fellow. Engage in activities that will force one to take birth as an animal in their next life. This is a fact. I'm not speaking my own opinions. I'm repeating the words of the great sages. Mahajano yena gatasya panta. We must follow the pathway of these great acharyas. Right now we are lost in the cycle of birth and death. The dense, dark, deep forest of delusion. We're trapped in this forest, lost in the wilderness of the cycle of birth and death. So these great acharyas, they have blazed a trail through this dense forest of delusion. If we will follow that pathway, acharya marg, if we will follow that pathway of the great acharyas, if we will follow the pathway of the great acharyas, then we will come out of this darkness of illusion. We will enter into the bright light of spiritual existence. We are not meant to suffer here in this material existence. We are meant to be with Krishna. It's his associate. Just as Arjuna is an associate, we are also meant to be associates of Krishna, with eternal bodies that never get sick, old, and die. So, Prabhupada is very nicely pointing out how one should arrange his life in such a way that he's always Krishna conscious. So how do you do that if you're working a corporate job, for example? How do you do that? You have to really be determined, I can tell you, because the atmosphere in the corporate world is very, very materialistic. It's full of greed, it's full of lust, it's full of anger, it's full of envy. It's very, very materialistic. You see? So how do you go in the middle of that atmosphere and remain Krishna conscious? That is a great challenge. But it can be done. You have to be determined. So, how do you do it? You have to have a very strong spiritual program at home. Don't just get up in the morning, you know, take some breakfast and go to work. You have to go to bed early at night and get up early in the morning and have a very good program of meditation on the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. You see, intensely absorb your consciousness in Krishna's name. You have to wake up every day and offering your day to Krishna. You understand? Don't offer your day to making money or just maintaining your family members. That's what the animals do. You have to wake up in the morning in the mood of offering yourself to Krishna. So you have to set aside quality time every morning for Krishna. And then in this, you fully put yourself in that mood of surrender to Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You have dived deeply into that ocean of Krishna's name every morning, 16 rounds. Then when you come out of your house and you commute to your office, when you see the world around you, what will you think? You will think, this is Krishna's property, this whole world. It belongs, this whole Pune belongs to Krishna, this whole Maharashtra, this whole India, this whole earth planet. This, you'll see everything is the property of Krishna, to be engaged in Krishna's service. When you get to your office, you will see this is Krishna's energy. It is meant to be engaged in His service. So this morning sadhana is very, very important. Your rounds should not be chanted in the evening. That's better than not chanting, of course, but you should chant as many rounds as possible in the morning. 16 is ideal. Because then your spiritual batteries will be fully charged. Just like when we leave the house, we want to make sure our mobile phone is fully charged, so we don't miss that important call in the afternoon. So why would you give your mobile phone more importance than your consciousness? You understand? If you have fully charged your mobile phone, why you wouldn't want to fully charge your consciousness? So we have to, Krishna consciousness means to give your consciousness more important than your mobile phone. That is Krishna consciousness. To prioritize your consciousness is more important than your mobile phone. So you fully surcharge your consciousness in the morning with Krishna consciousness. And then you can be Krishna conscious throughout the day. There's so many opportunities to remember Krishna. Just like at the office, you drink water, isn't it? Or any juice, any liquid thing. And so, what does Krishna say? Rasoham apsukhantaya. I am the taste of water, the taste of liquid things. So Prabhupada told us in San Francisco. It was wonderful that day when I first got to see Prabhupada in Golden Gate Park in the summer of 1971. It was so wonderful. Now I'm finally seeing my spiritual master. And he gave a little talk there from Subhadra Devi's cart. And he told us, he said, every day you are drinking water. Once, twice, thrice, more than that. If every time you drink water you remember that Krishna is the taste of the water, then immediately you become Krishna conscious. To become Krishna conscious is not a difficult job, simply it requires practice. So this is something everyone can do in their corporate job. When you drink some water, you can remember, so nice taste. This is Krishna. So it's not difficult to be Krishna conscious, whether you're a brahmachari in the ashram or you're a householder working in corporate loka. You see, it's not difficult to be Krishna conscious. You just have to have the determination, I want to be Krishna conscious. If you have that determination, guess who's going to help you to do that? Krishna will. Do you think the Paramatma jumps out of your heart when you go to the office? No, the Paramatma is staying with you. Krishna is staying with you as the super soul, the super consciousness within your heart. He's there with you at every minute. So you simply have to engage everything in his service. So someone may ask, well, is it wrong for me to, you know, to try to become more expert in my job, you know, whatever I'm doing? Should I only pursue expertise in Krishna consciousness, or can I pursue expertise in my job also? No, a devotee is expert. That means he's expert in everything. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was working for the British. Talk about a material atmosphere. He was working for the British. And he was super expert. He was the most expert of all the magistrates. Nobody could touch him, and he was so expert. He was expert Vaishnava. He was expert in Krishna consciousness. He was expert in writing. He was expert in doing his job also. He was the most expert. When there was any trouble with Hindu-Muslim riots, the British would send Bhaktivinoda Thakur to solve the problem. If there was a bogus incarnation, they would send Bhaktivinoda. He was so expert. So that's one of the qualities of a devotee. You see, if you're becoming Krishna conscious, that means you become very expert in everything you do, including your job. You'll be very expert in your job. You become a very valued employee. Or if you're a business owner, your customers will love you because you're so expert. It's satisfying them. So Krishna consciousness doesn't mean you become a material misfit. This is not a movement for people, but this is not a movement for losers, people who completely fail in the material world, so they had to go live in the ashram in order to get something to eat. And this is not a movement for failures, people who are not materially together. This is a movement for people who want to become on the topmost level of success. Who don't want to fail in this life. Who want to achieve the topmost success. Krishna consciousness movement is for those who achieve for the topmost success. Materially speaking, what is the topmost position? Brahmana. You can become Brahma. You're the engineer of the whole universe. Universal engineering. See, that's the topmost level of engineering, to be Lord Brahma, to engineer the whole universe. But for us, that's nothing. That even the position of being Brahmaji, that is nothing. A Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravarti Narajana Mamupechidukanteya Punarjanmana Vidyate. From the highest planet in this material world, Brahma Loka, all the way down to the lowest planet, Patala Loka, every place is simply misery. But one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, punar janmana vidyate, he never takes birth again. So, become Krishna conscious. Yat kadoshi yadashnashi yajjahosi dadasi yat yat tapasya shikonteya tat kadushva madarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, as well as whatever austerities you may perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering unto me. So is your job an austerity? Sure it is. For most people, it's an austerity. So, that's no problem. Krishna says, whatever austerities you used to do, do them for me. Do them for me. And as soon as you offer your austerities to Krishna, they become sweeter than the sweetest honey. Therefore, a devotee is always jolly, he's always happy. And Krishna will help. He says, well, it makes my sadhana difficult because of my job. It makes my sadhana difficult. But I guarantee you, if you're determined to have good sadhana, Krishna will help. I have practical experience. I was a brahmachari for 14 years. And then I entered into grihastha ashram. And I went and got some training in computer programming, and then I got my first job. My first job, I was babysitting a big mainframe computer. The operations that were coming out of it, the programs that were running through it. But from 11 at night until 8 in the morning, that was my work hours, you see. Now, I've been a brahmachari for 14 years, and I'm at the Mangalarti every day. I mean, you don't miss Mangalarti. I mean, you go to Mangalarti every day. That was my... That's how I lived. My day began with Mangalarti. So I was thinking, oh my goodness, here I am 11 at night till 8 in the morning. What am I going to do? How am I going to go to Mangalarti? Oh no, you know. But I was so determined. Somehow I don't know what I'm going to do, but somehow I have to have Mangalarti. I can't live without Mangalarti. So you know what happened? The first day I went, the supervisor said, you know, nobody likes to work this night shift. So you can take an extra long lunch break every day. We have no problem with that. So what did I do? I started my lunch break at four in the morning, and I ended it at 5:15. So I would drive from the office over to pick up my wife, take her to the temple, attend Mangalarti, and I would go back to after Mangalarti to finish the second half of my shift. So because I was determined to have good sadhana, in spite of ungodly work hours, you see, Krishna helped me because I had that intense desire to be Krishna conscious. He facilitated me. And I got off work, I caught the tail end of Bhagavatam class. You see, every day, the tail end of Bhagavatam class, I would catch that tail end of Bhagavatam class. I would get Mangalarti and Bhagavatam every day. Even though the work hours were very weird hours, 11 at night till 8 in the morning. So whatever your situation may be, the point is this, just have that intense desire to awaken the dormant Krishna consciousness within your heart. If you do that, Krishna will reciprocate. Ye yata mang prapadyante tamstataiva bhajam yaham. You see, inasmuch as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. So how much are you surrendered to Krishna? A little teeny bit? Well, you're going to get that much reciprocation. How much does your heart desire to become a pure devotee of Krishna? You see? That's how much reciprocation you'll get. If it's tiny, you'll get a little reciprocation. If it's medium, you'll get medium reciprocation. And if you have an intense desire that there's nothing for me except for Krishna, I have nothing but Krishna. You see? He's everything for me. Everything else will come and go, but I know that only Krishna will remain. You see? I've had millions of families and millions of lifetimes. You see? Where are they now? But Krishna is still there. He's my Lord. I've had millions of bodies, millions of... So many things I've had. They've come and they've gone. Just like passing... just like in the ocean. The tide comes in, there's some sticks all bunched together. The tide goes out, and tide comes in. Now those sticks are bunched in different ways. So now we are bunched together. This is my nation. This is my family. They are very dear to me. But when the tide goes out and the sticks come back in, it's a whole different arrangement. That person that was my enemy, now that's my family member. So in this way, it's always changing, but Krishna remains constant. Krishna is the constant factor. So if we understand this, instead of getting carried away by the temporary bunching of sticks, if we can stick to the original relationship that we all have that never changes, that we're Krishna's servants, if we can stick to that principle and meditate on that principle and celebrate that principle by our thoughts, our words, our deeds in all times, places, and circumstances, we will not be living in this material world. We will be living in the spiritual world. Now, if anybody has questions, you can write them down on a piece of paper, because in a few minutes we're going to open it up for questions. Oh, they are there already coming. Okay. So I guarantee you, I don't care what your position is, I don't care what your situation is in this material world, it doesn't matter. There is no material situation which can prevent you from becoming Krishna conscious. It all depends on your desire. It all depends on your attitude. If you want to become a liberated soul, Jivan Mukta, you can do them. You can be a liberated soul even while you're working at XYZ Corporation. A liberated soul. This is Bhaktivinoda's liberated soul. You can also be liberated soul. Whatever position you're in. Completely liberated soul. That's a thing. You simply have to have the same determination that I know no one but Krishna is my Lord, and he shall remain so, even if he handles me roughly by his embrace or leaves me brokenhearted by not being present before me. He is my worshipful Lord unconditionally. If you have that determination as given by Lord Chaitanya in his Shikshastakam prayer, if you maintain that attitude, then you will not be living in this material world. You'll be a liberated soul living in the spiritual sky at every minute. Even while you're here in Pune, you'll be living in the spiritual sky. So now we can try to answer some questions. How to overcome the modes of passion and ignorance? I'm unable to give priority to sadhana. Then to seva, I like doing activities but don't feel like chanting, reading, and, you know. Yes, if someone is not able to get into hearing and chanting, they just want to do activities, that means they're in the mode of passion. We have to know the mode of passion is nectar in the beginning and poison in the end. We see many times people come to our movement, they're all enthusiastic, very active, and then they go away. Why? Because they never learned how to come to the mode of goodness, that's hearing and chanting, you see. So it's very nice you're enthusiastic to do service. But you have to understand, if you don't develop that taste for hearing and chanting, you will lose that service in due course. It will go away from you. So while you're doing the service and happy in doing the service, force yourself to hear and chant, even though you have no taste for it. Force yourself to do it. Because by that, enforcing that upon yourself, gradually you'll develop a taste for it. You see? And then you'll become fixed in the mode of goodness. And your Krishna consciousness, you'll never go away from Krishna consciousness. How can one achieve good chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? There are 10 offenses against the holy names. You should study them and always try to avoid them. And you should always remember that this name has unlimited nectar within it. This is described by Srila Rupa Goswami. tunde tandavani ritim vitanite tundavali lamdaye karna krodha kadamani gatayate kunavyade vraspiham sheta prangana sangani vijayate savindriyanam prithim na jane janita kriyanvi mritai krishne divanilvai. He says, I did not know how much nectar these two syllables, Krishna, have produced. Because when I chant Krishna, Krishna dances on my tongue. And there's so much nectar that my one little tongue, it cannot capture that nectar. Therefore, I need to have millions of tongues. And when those vibrations, Krishna, enter the holes of my ears, there's so much nectar, what my two little ears can capture, I must have billions of ears to capture that nectar. And when that Krishna vibration dances in the courtyard of my heart, my mind is completely conquered, and I am stunned in a state of transcendental wonder. So if you remember what is the actual power of this name, what is the actual potency, what is the actual nectar, the amrit, which is oozing from this name, your rounds are going to come pretty good. You're going to really chant some good rounds. You've got to remember, there is unlimited amrit. Namamrita Sindhu. There is an ocean of nectar in this Krishna vibration. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If you'll always remember, there's a Namamrita Sindhu, there's a whole ocean of nectar. And every time you chant, now let me dive into that ocean and swim in the nectar of the names. I have been a loser throughout my life. I am caught with home loans, car loans, etc. I feel bounded. My elder brother says, you're wasting time in Krishna consciousness. You will not be able to compete with anyone. I feel inferior. I have surrendered to Krishna. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to pray. Is Krishna consciousness the activity of people who are incompetent, who cannot succeed? What are the two great literatures of Indian civilization, the two popular epics, Ramayana and Mahabharata? Who were the heroes of Ramayana and Bharat? Hanuman and Arjuna. Were they incompetent failures? No, they were highly successful people. So Krishna consciousness doesn't mean to be a failure. Krishna consciousness doesn't mean you can't compete. This is a misconception. I remember when I first started working, the computer programmer, I went to one of these highly competitive corporations to apply for a job, EDS. It was Ross Perot's company, EDS, consulting company. And since I'd been a brahmachari, it was the only resume I had. I put Bhaktivedanta Book Trust on my resume, you see, as a representative for Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. And this man, I remember he looked at resume, he said, oh, Bhaktivedanta, that's Indian, therefore you're not competitive. We don't want you. So people have this misconception that Indian culture means you're not competitive. But that's not true. Krishna consciousness does not mean that you're not competitive. Actually, there's nobody more competitive than the devotee. Prabhupada told us in Africa, he said, I act like a king because nobody can defeat me. Now that's, you see, a devotee is very competitive. A devotee, he wants to conquer. He's in the mood of a conqueror, not someone who is defeated. Prabhupada told us, Digvijay means one who conquers in all directions. He ordered us, he said, you should go village to village, town to town, and make Digvijay. That there is God, I can prove there is God. Who are you who say there is no God? Come on! That is Digvijay. Prabhupada taught us to be the most competitive people. You see? So if you're running a business, Prabhupada said a businessman, Krishna conscious businessman, he can aspire to become the most wealthy businessman in the entire world. That's competitive. You see, we're not against competition. We want all of our devotees to be so expert they can defeat everybody in every way. You see, we want our devotees to be the most competitive, successful people. We want our devotees to become the leaders in every field, politics, education, entertainment. In every field, we want our devotees to be the leaders. That's part of our mission. We're not against competitiveness. If you can move up the corporate ladder and be the CEO, that's great, Prabhu. Is it? We want our devotees to be the leaders in every field. If all the corporations are run by devotees, then what will happen? There'll be prasadam for all the employees. There'll be a mandatory aarti every morning before you begin your work. We want our devotees to compete and be the leaders in every single field. We want to establish Krishna consciousness. We want to defeat these nonsense rascal civilization. We are the most competitive people. In fact, I know one of our devotees, he put on his resume, this was in Australia, he went to apply for a job, and he said, you know, they asked about his, you know, he says, I'm a Hare Krishna devotee, I'm a Hare Krishna devotee, and our agenda is we want to dominate the whole world. We are determined for world domination. He put that on his resume. I'm a Hare Krishna, and our philosophy is world domination. They said, we'll hire you. They hired him. He said, I'm Hare Krishna, and our philosophy is world domination. Okay, you're in. We want people with your spunk. You see? So this idea, inferiority, this is not Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means world domination. We're in the process of taking over the world, not being failures. So your elder brother doesn't know what is Krishna consciousness, but you should know what is Krishna consciousness. You say, well, I'm caught with home loans, car loans. Well, even materially speaking, the most successful people went through trials and tribulations at some point. Even the material life, people who are, Prabhupada said, failure is the pillar of success. You say, right now I'm a failure. Well, if you capitalize on your failure, you'll become a success, even materially speaking. Especially in spiritual life. So don't feel I'm a failure, therefore it's all over. No, utilize failure as a springboard to success. That's what you have to do. I want to forget this fact that Krishna will get me liberated. I simply want to love him. How do I do that? You can say, my dear Krishna, I simply desire to serve you birth after birth. Whatever you want me to do, I'm surrendered. I'll be your devotee here in this material world for all of eternity, if that's what you want. Janme, janme, Prabhu se. We sing that to Prabhupada. You're my Lord, birth after birth. My dear Lord, I just want to serve you with pure love. If you want me to stay in this material world forever, I don't mind. I just want, as long as I can serve you, I'm happy. That's how you can cultivate that mood. How can we maintain our Krishna consciousness among fully materialistic and non-devotees? Well, I suggest if you have an office job, put a Bhagavad Gita on your desk. Just leave it sitting there all day. Have some extra copies in the drawer. And I guarantee you, sooner or later, somebody's going to ask you about that book. And you can say, here's a copy. The copy, you can give a little bit to help with the printing costs. Here, take this copy. I know somebody was working, one Indian gentleman, actually, and one of my godbrothers. He was working at a corporate job in Detroit. And he put a Bhagavad Gita on his desk every day. And there was one boy named Randy, an American boy. He was also working as a consultant. And he said, what is this book? And so he ended up becoming a disciple of Prabhupada because the other devotee put a Bhagavad Gita on his desk. So use your job as an opportunity to do some preaching. Put a Gita on your desk. Just lay it out there. And it'll give you strength to see the Bhagavad Gita over there. You're getting alive, and just by seeing the Gita, that means Krishna is personally present with you all day at your job. Just lay the Gita there. That's all you have to do. Don't say anything to anybody. Just lay it there. Somebody is going to ask you about it sooner or later, and it's a great preaching opportunity. Plus, you can bring prasadam and put it in the break room once a week. It'll be everybody's happiest day at the office. The day that he brings the prasadam and the cookie, prasad cookies or whatever it may be, to the break room, you see. Everyone take one. You put a little note. Everyone take one. Hare Krishna Maharaj, how to increase surrender under the lotus feet of Krishna? Well, the way to do that is you have to surrender to a bona fide spiritual master. That's how you do it. Because Krishna says, if you surrender yourself to me, you're not actually surrendered. I don't accept that you're surrendered to me. So when you surrender to my devotee, then I accept that you're actually surrendered to me. So the way to increase your surrender is to find a devotee that you can fully give yourself to. And then your surrender to Krishna will become perfect and complete. Is going back to Godhead similar to Salokya Mukti? Yes. If yes, then is Salokya Mukti temporary or permanent? Permanent. Can you elaborate on the types of mukti? There is Sayuja Mukti, which is a temporary liberation of the impersonalness. They float in the spiritual sky for some time. They come down again. Salokya means to live on the same planet as the Lord. Sarshti means to have the same opulence as the Lord. Samipya means to become an associate of the Lord. And Sarupya means to have a form similar to the Lord. All of these liberations are okay for devotees except for Sayuja, which we shun. Because there's no bhakti in Sayuja Mukti, and it's only temporary. Whether you have Sharshti, Samipya, Salokya, or Sarupya, all types of liberation are favorable for Krishna consciousness. All those four types. Hare Krishna, thank you for sweet kirtan. Can you have a 5-minute kirtan after the session? But this is a kirtan. Do you think this is not a kirtan that we're doing right now? Prabhupada said, reading is kirtan, taking prasadam is kirtan, kirtan is kirtan. He said everything is kirtan except for sleeping. That is waste. Of course, if you dream about Krishna in your sleep, then that also becomes kirtan. So if you train yourself by being fully absorbed in kirtan, kirtan means to glorify Krishna. So if you do kirtan all the time, then even in your sleep you'll be going Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So therefore, when you wake up in the morning, you should go Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. When you go to brush your teeth, you should go Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Then you pick up your bead bag. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then you take your breakfast. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Then you go on the commute.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Then on your lunch break,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
On the way home,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
And when you get home,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Before you take breath,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
And in this way, all night long, you'll be dreaming,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And the time of death,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And forever in the spiritual sky,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
I just want to share with you a little experience I had the other day. I was initiating some disciples in Delhi. We had a yajna there at the Delhi temple. And as a part of the initiation ceremony, we were all going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
I had the most amazing sensation as we were doing that kirtan. It's like I had this sensation that here we are in the spiritual sky, we're chanting Hare Krishna. And our liberated, we're in Swarup City, we're in our original forms, we're in Goloka Vrindavan, and here we are, we're all chanting Hare Krishna. I just had that sensation while we were chanting Hare Krishna, and then I was seeing there's no difference between chanting in Goloka Vrindavan or chanting here in the material world. It's a really interesting realization. So we just had a 5-minute kirtan. He asked for it and we had one. When we suffer, who suffers?
The body or the soul?
Your body does not suffer. It's a machine. Does your car ever get a headache? It's the Atma that suffers because of foolish misidentification with the body. Hare Krishna Maharaj, I try to preach, but in return I get materialistic preaching. My consciousness gets influenced when I meet non-devotees, what to do to remain Krishna conscious. So that happens when you try to preach, and they preach to you their bogus philosophy. Well, all I can say is this. You should really learn our philosophy well. Prabhupada told us to approach them and ask them what is their philosophy. He told us to preach like that. And then when you hear it, then you smash it. You should become Digvijay Pandit, Prabhu. You should learn this philosophy inside out, upside down. You know how much Prabhupada wanted us to be expert? There's a nice story. He was flying on the airplane to go to Nairobi. From Mumbai to Nairobi. Of course, it was Bombay in those days. From Bombay, they were flying to Nairobi. And this one devotee had a very special nectar. He got to be Prabhupada's masseur, his servant, his cook, everything. He took Madhuvisa Prabhu along with him on the airplane. Can you just imagine? It's you. And they took two deities with them as well. The deities were sitting in front of them. They were in the first class section, so they had some space, you know, for the deities there. Just imagine. You're sitting there with Prabhupada on an 8-hour flight, just you and Srila Prabhupada. Wow, what nectar. You all alone with Prabhupada on the airplane for 8 hours sitting beside Prabhupada. You can imagine how enlivening that must have been for him. But then as soon as the flight took off, so Prabhupada said to him, "See, so," he said, "so Madhuvisa," he said, "are you ready to fight?" Madhuvisa, he said, what do you mean, Srila Prabhupada? He said, "I will play the. Let's see, how did you? You play the Mayavadi, And I will play the Vaishnava and we will have debate. So, Madhavisa, he gave the Mayavadi argument. I said, what was it? Which was that the way? Let's see, first thing. No. Yes. Madhavisa gave the Mayavadi arguments and then Prabhupada defeated them, completely smashed them. And then Prabhupada said, okay, now I will be the Mayavadi and you be the Vaishnava. And Prabhupada was so expert. Madhavisa was thinking, I just heard all the arguments to defeat Mayavadi philosophy, so now this is going to be very easy. But you know, he could not defeat Prabhupada. Prabhupada completely defeated him with Mayavadi arguments. And Prabhupada said, this is how you should be so expert in the art of debating. You can take your enemy's position and defeat your own arguments. And I was a kid in high school. I was on the debate squad, and that was, we would do that. We would take two sides. We would argue twice on the pro side and argue twice on the con side. It was, and whoever could give the best arguments, they would win the tournament. So in this way, you should be so expert that you can take the materialistic arguments, you can defeat them, and then you can defeat your own defeat, and you can defeat that defeat. You understand? This is how one way that I learned our philosophy. I went out and I preached. And every time somebody gave me an argument I couldn't defeat, I would go back and I would study, and I'd find a way to defeat that argument. And this way I built up a whole arsenal of counter-arguments. And now, you know, good luck if somebody tries to defeat me. Good luck. That's all I can say. Good luck. Because I'm very well armed. I have a whole quiver of astras, mystic weapons, transcendental arguments to defeat all of this nonsense. So I would not be discouraged by being defeated. I would take it as an opportunity to increase your own knowledge. Well, how was I defeated? What did they say? Now, write it, you know, take notes if you need to. What arguments you're not able to defeat, and then learn how to defeat them. Preaching is the most exciting adventure. To go out on the order of Prabhupada and be a Digvijay Pandit, it's the most exciting thing you could ever imagine. Who needs to play sports? You see, this is the ultimate sport. Krishna conscious preaching. Why our mind always thinks negative things very fast and always tries to run away from Krishna bhakti and get attracted toward the physical attraction? That's just your bad habits from millions of lifetimes. You got to train yourself how to become naturally attracted to Krishna by practice. Every day chant your rounds, follow the principles. In this way, gradually, 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 you regain your original natural state of Krishna consciousness. You have been in close association with Srila Prabhupada. Please share with us your first meeting with a great soul and any memorable time you would like to share. My first one-on-one meeting with Prabhupada was very nice. There was a system when he came back from his morning walks that we would line up along the sidewalk between the street and the door to his quarters. And every devotee would have a flower in their hand, and Prabhupada had a basket of flowers. So Prabhupada would come up to each devotee, you would hand him a flower, and he would hand you a flower. It was so sweet. You got to have your own little personal exchange with Prabhupada. Every devotee got to have their exchange with Prabhupada. So I was near the front of the line and I had my exchange. It was very nice. It lasted for a second, but it was so sweet and so wonderful. But then I went over to the end of the line so I could have another darshan of Prabhupada as we came by on the way to his quarters. Now, seeing Prabhupada is not like seeing an ordinary man. You see, he's not different from Krishna. He has the full Shakti of Krishna. So when you see such a personality, I describe it like this. you take the darshan of such a great sadhu, you want to drink his form into your heart through your eyes. So I stood there to take another drink, you see. I had a little drink, I want another drink. I want to take Prabhupada even deeper into my heart, you see. So Prabhupada's coming by, and he's finished the line of devotees, and I'm standing there looking at him. And Prabhupada was so kind. He was so sweet. He saw, well, here's some devotee here. He's not in the line. Prabhupada is thinking, I wonder if he got a flower in him. Prabhupada was so personal. He wanted to make sure that every devotee got a flower. And he saw I wasn't standing in the line. He was thinking, maybe Brahmachari here didn't get a flower. So he reached up to me in a flower like this, like, you know, body language, facial expression. Did you get a flower yet? He didn't say it, but it was, you know, verb. It was body language. Did you get a flower yet? And I held up my flower and said, yes, I got a flower. And so that was my first face-to-face meeting with Prabhupada, to see that he wanted to see that every single devotee got that mercy from him. And that made a very deep impression on my heart, Prabhupada's kindness. Request for the personal mercy of yours once again. I need your guidance for my spiritual development. Wait. Oh, that's the back side. Once I was showered the mercy of your guidance, but due to ignorance, somehow I discontinued. Well, take it up again. You have my e-course, www.backtohome.com. And get reconnected then. You're welcome to come back. Even if you get connected and you fall away, you're always welcome to come back. I'll never reject any students. I always feel that whatever little sadhana I do it for my purification, my good, so that I'll perform good karma. I feel this is a very selfish attitude. What should I do to convert this service attitude towards Krishna? There's nothing wrong with acting for your purification. Why? Because Krishna wants you to become pure. So acting for your purification, that is Krishna bhakti. There's nothing wrong with that. Please continue acting for your purification. Krishna wants you to become his pure devotee. And what's the best way to purify yourself? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. By studying material subjects, rather, he is pleased by studying Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, I'm a student. How can I get the conviction that studying subjects like medicine or engineering will please Krishna? They won't on their own. But if the result of that study, which means better income than being a beggar on the street, if you are determined that the income I derive from my engineering degree or my medical degree was going to be used to create a Krishna conscious lifestyle for myself and to support the Krishna consciousness movement, that determination you have to have. You have to already offer the result of that career, which is a few years down the road, the result of that study. You have to mentally offer the result of that study, that this income that's going to come from my studies in due course, that will be used for Krishna, not for sense gratification. That's how you can purify your consciousness while you're studying. Will a devotee of the Lord also get a pain of 40,000 scorpions biting him at the time of death, or will he die without any pain? That depends. It could go either way. But for a devotee, for someone who's actually Krishna conscious, he takes pain as the mercy of Krishna also. He would take those 40,000 scorpions as Krishna's mercy also. How to become Krishna conscious when you don't have proper physical health? You have to understand your sickness is due to your past sinful activities, and Krishna is mercifully giving you this sickness to help you burn off the reactions from your past sins. So in this way you can celebrate your disease. I'm serious. Tate nukampam susamikshavano punjana evadma katam vabakam. Krishna says that it's stated in Bhagavatam, my dear Lord, those devotees who are constantly offering your respectful obeisances from within the innermost cores of their hearts, even while undergoing the sinful reactions for their past misdeeds, are certainly candidates for liberation. Indeed, it has become their rightful claim. So devotee doesn't think badly. He thinks Krishna is blessing me with this disease. Some devotees have chronic diseases. Just like I have a chronic disease of the ears. I've suffered for 50 years with this chronic disease of the ear. But instead of thinking, Krishna, why are you doing this to me? I think, Krishna, thank you for doing this. I don't understand why you're doing this to me, but I understand this is your mercy. I accept it as your mercy. You see, I've been suffering for 50 years, ever since I was 16. I've suffered with chronic ear disease. But I take it as Krishna's mercy. Even though it's not very pleasant, it causes me and others inconvenience. They talk to me and I can't understand what they're saying. But I take it as Krishna's mercy. This is some purpose. I don't understand exactly what it is, but I accept it that Krishna has blessed me with this disease to help me take shelter of him. It is said in the Bhagavad Gita, one who comes to my abode never comes back again in the material world. And we have been given an understanding that it is because of our desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. What if the jiva goes to Krishna's abode again and develop again the same desire to enjoy separately from Krishna? This concept seems a little contradictory to me, please God. Well, if you did desire it again, you would fall down again. But once burned, twice shy. You're not going to make the same mistake again twice. A child may stick his hand in the fire once out of curiosity. Can you pay him to do it again? No way. You'll never touch that fire again. So you've touched the fire, you've gotten burned, but you're not going to touch it again. A good friend of mine has become an atheist after his mother's untimely death. How to bring him back to God consciousness? Does he want to become God conscious? If he's submissive to your preaching, you can do it. But if he won't hear you, then there's nothing you can do. Said, give him prasad. In that way, you soften him up. If God lived in every place of the world and earth, then why we are worship only one statue and name? It's a fact that God is present everywhere. He's omnipresent. But because you are blinded by lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy, you cannot see God who is everywhere. Therefore, he has mercifully appeared for you in a form that is visible for you, the deity. So, our time is running out. And I just wanted to thank all of you for your participation. I'm sorry if I didn't answer your question. Anyone who didn't get an answer for your question, go ahead and write me, send it by email, SDA, that's Sankarshan Das Adhikari, at backtohome.com. SDA at backtohome, backtohome.com. I'll be happy to answer your question on the email when I get caught up. I'm 2 weeks behind right now, but I've been doing so many lectures, I have little time to answer email. But I will get to your email eventually if you have a question that didn't get answered. So I want to thank you all very much for your participation in this movement. Please take it seriously as the goal of your life to become a pure devotee of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.